week seven or eight that we've been apart, but we are still together. Amen. At this time, we usually do our praise and testimonies, and I just want to give a shout out and a thank you to all those who were involved yesterday with the Awana parade as they got in cars and paraded through neighborhoods and honked the horn, and they even stopped at my house and honked the horn and made a mess out of me. But it was good to see all those who were involved in that. Thank you, Bailey, for orchestrating that and getting everything involved there. Thank you for allowing me this past week. Amy and I got away for 3 or 4 days. Thank you, James and Linda. We went down to Melbourne, Florida, and just tried to relax best we could, and we had a good time. So thank you for that. That's a great praise. And as you can look around, there's some decorations. Somebody's turning 50 today, so I praise God. I made it to the half-century mark. I don't think I'm going to make it to the second half-century, but that's okay. I'll be at home in glory. Thank you all for who all decorated up and down the road in front of the church and the sidewalk in front of the church, and you need to come clean that off. But thank you, thank you, thank you. I have two special prayer requests that I'd ask for all of those who are listening to please pray for. I got word through social media. A good friend of mine who is a high school friend, his mother's in Piedmont Medical Center, or the whatever they're calling the hospital in Rock Hill now. She had a stroke a couple of days ago, and she's not doing real well, and they're not letting the children come in and communicate for the mom. So there's a whole lot of red tape, as you can probably figure. His name is Jerry Walker. Just pray for his mom right now as she's in the hospital. There was a death in the last church I was in yesterday. Bobby Jean Kynard, the woman cleaned the church from top to bottom. Oh my gosh, you could eat on the floor after this woman cleaned. She passed away. Love her. She loved me. I'll be doing the funeral tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Be in prayer for me, but be in prayer for the family as well. Thank you all. Can't wait to see you all again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we start the service. Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, we do love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you that you're alive. We thank you that you're with us. Lord, you've never left us. You've always been here. Lord, help us, Lord, to feel your presence, to know everything that you have in front of us, Lord, is your will and your way. God, let us proclaim who you are today and every day, because you are righteous and you're worthy. Be with us through the remainder of this service. Help us to lift your name on high and to give your name praise, honor, and glory that is truly deserved. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
So blind, my sin was before me, I was swallowed by pride. But out of the darkness you brought me to your light. You showed me new mercy and opened up my eyes. Day you saved my soul, till the very moment when I come home, I'll sing, I'll dance, my heart will overflow. From the day you saved my soul, oh, when brilliant light is all around, joy is the only sound. Oh, rest my heart forever now. Oh, in your arms I'll always be found. From the day you saved my soul, till the very moment when I come home, I'll sing, I'll dance, my heart will overflow. day you saved my soul. Till the very moment when I come home, I'll sing, I'll dance, my heart will overflow. From the day you saved my soul, oh, from the day you saved my soul, oh.
Everybody needs the Lord. The lost need the Lord for salvation, but a Christian, a saved Christian, needs the Lord as well. We need the Lord every day. In fact, let me read the first verse, if I may. Lord, I come to confess. I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. As a Christian, we need to be have a right relationship with our Lord. We sin every day. And sin damages our relationship with our Lord. We must come to our Lord on a daily basis. On a daily basis, we must ask for forgiveness and ask for to relieve the guilt of that sin. We sin all the time, and In if we don't ask for forgiveness of our sins, we cannot have that daily relationship with our Lord that we may serve him better. So I need you, Lord. I need you. We need you.
Lord, I come. Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you.
Times are very different, and it's something that we've never had to deal with that we're living in. But even with the unknown, we can know that God is in control and that He is good. Just take this time right now just to draw close to Him. Be still and let Him give you the calm and the peace that only He can give. Worship Him where you are right now.
There's a calm that covers me when I kneel down at your feet. It's a place of healing. It's a place where I find freedom. Can't see where my spirit longs to be. It's a place of healing. It's a place I'll live in freedom. So I'm gonna can reach heaven. I'm gonna shout your name till the walls come falling down. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. There's a love that lives in me. I've come to worship. your name till the walls come falling down. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I'm gonna sing my song like I am unashamed. I'm gonna shout for joy at the mention of your name. I've come to worship. I've come to worship.
Help us to worship you. Worship you for who you are, dear Lord. And Lord, just help Brother Kyle as he comes up and just to bring your word, Lord. I just pray that somebody's heart will be touched and everything, Lord. And Lord, let us just see you for who you are. And that is a good God, dear Lord. You are so good to us, Lord. And I just pray that we will worship you.
Thank you, praise team. I want to thank you for your faithfulness through these weeks to come and to do as I have to do to preach to an empty congregation. It's hard at times, but I can't imagine what it's like to sing to an empty congregation. Although that you're still there, we just can't see you and interact with you, and we don't see you raising your hands and saying amen and all that good stuff. Turning your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, as you're turning there, a couple situations that I want to ask you to continue to pray for as well. I meant to mention a few minutes ago, pray for our graduates. We've got two here in the church, James and Rihanna, and things are just different. It's not like when we graduated, so just pray for them. I promise you, when we are able to join together, and we always have a celebration in the social hall for our graduates, you will be recognized and you will be celebrated. Amen. Y'all give them some confirmation right now on the feedback. Type a little something. Also, have a special couple that we met last year when we went on a cruise ship. They were planning on getting married June 13th, and they've had to push everything back to July 11th. That's Shannon Sizemore and Eric Dixon. Be in prayer for them. The whole process of doing a wedding is stressful enough, but having to deal with all of this and push your wedding plans back, Shannon, please don't hurt Eric. Please don't hurt Eric. He's a good man. Don't hurt him. Eric, don't say anything. Just fade into the wall and do what she says do. Everything will be okay. Again, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Last week, we watched as Jesus poured 3 years of his life into 12 men, trying to solidify their faith before he returned back to heaven to his Father. He knew exactly who they were when he handpicked each of those men. And he was fully aware of each one of those men's potentials. We watched as their faith failed all throughout the gospel messages. Yet when on the day of Pentecost came, their faith became whole when the Holy Spirit came to live within them. We remembered that the same Holy Spirit now resides within each and every believer when we accept Christ as our Lord and true Messiah. We now have the same boldness that empowers us every day of our lives in the Holy Spirit of God. We're no different than those Jesus first chose. This morning, I want you to see something that you already know. What I'm getting ready to tell you is not top secret. You already know this, but it is a powerful reminder that we need to hear in the times that we now live and the times that we know are soon approaching. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Listen to this. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, the very beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths.
Listen.
And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light and called the light day. And He called the darkness night. Evening came, and then the morning, the first day. Let us pray. Father, as we come to You this morning, let each and every one of us, first and foremost, thank You for who You are. Thanking You, Lord God, that You love us, that You've provided for us, You've sustained us. God, that You're with us. Lord, I pray that You would be with us right now through this message. I pray that You would help us to hear a word from You. Even as I preach it, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would minister to my heart. Be with each one of us. Help us to feel You in a way that we'd so desperately need to feel You, Lord. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said amen. The title of this morning's message is God Was There. God was there. Now, I want to say something loud and proud this morning about my church family, about Chevis Oaks Baptist Church this morning. Every person that I've spoken to over the past 7 weeks has for the most part, for the very most part, had a positive attitude about what's going on. Now, some have said, like myself, that you're a little bit stir-crazy. I think that all of us are a little bit stir-crazy. Get out. Go for a drive. Go walk on the beach. Go walk near the water. Do something. We get stir-crazy. But for the very most part, I've not heard any negative, "woe is me" responses. You know, this is important, church. This is important that the world see us as Christians in a different light. That they may see that we're affected, but not moved in who we know our sustainer is. I just, like many of you, have seen people who are very scared, and these people have vented their frustrations all over social media with just cause. Many people are out of work, have not received a stimulus check. I'm one of them. I hadn't received. I've heard they're coming, but I haven't received a stimulus check. There are people who are just about to use up all their savings. They're running out of food. Have lost or in fear of losing their businesses they've worked their whole lives for, and still to this day do not have a clue as to. When their state is going to try and reopen. There's something very important that we need to remember and tell ourselves every single day. Whether the times are tough or whether the times are a breeze and everything in the world is going right, we need to tell ourselves this and remind ourselves of this. Listen, church, God is there. God is there. That is the title of this morning's message. God is there. Now, you may be asking yourself right now, where is God? Well, I'm fixing to tell you. I'm fixing to tell each and every one of you where God is. So I've been asked this, over the past 4 or 5 weeks, do you think God created this virus that's affecting this world? I can't answer that. I don't know whether God created it or not. But I know this, God allowed it. God allowed us to go through this. And that doesn't mean He hates us or He is trying to punish us. If we can see anything we need to see and understand right now, God right now is with us in the midst of what is taking place. He is with us. He's never left us. Well, Brother Kyle, you said you were going to show us that God is there. I am. Here is my first exhibit. Exhibit 1. The Holy Bible, God's holy inspired scriptures to us. Now understand, before I go any further, understand that what I hold in my hand, what I hope that you're holding in your lap that we just read from, is 66 love letters from the Lord God Almighty to you personally. You can insert your name there. So as I hold my Bible that was given to me by Dr. Jerry White when I was a youth pastor in Greer, South Carolina for Christmas one year, this Bible is near and dear to me. This, to me, is 66 love letters that God wrote personally to me. And these 66 letters prove to me that God is there. That God is there. And as you hold your Bible, you can do the same thing. You can look at your Bible, hold it just as I held mine, and say, this is 66 positive proof love letters from God to me that I might know that God is there. Well, Brother Kyle, can you show me? Because I'm not sure where you're going. Well, yeah, I'd be glad to show you. As we see our first glimpse of God in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Do you understand what this means, church? From the very beginning of time, God was there. He was there. There has never been a time where God was not, nor will there ever be a point in time when God is not there. If we look closely at the five major events in this book, in the book of Genesis, the creation of all that was created, the fall of man, the great flood, the Tower of Babel, and the creation of God's chosen people through Abraham, we need to understand that God was always there. Now, I've read what I'm getting ready to read you already, and I've read it many times, and so have you. But I want you to see the beauty in verse 2. Look at verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1. It says, now the earth was formless. Get that in your mind. The earth was there, and God was there, but the earth at this time was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. Listen. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Imagine yourself standing at the edge of the ocean in pitch black darkness. There's no light. And the essence, the Spirit of God is hovering over the darkness. Do you understand what that means? That means God was there. God was there from the very beginning. There's never been a time where God was not. God was there. We then travel to the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy and see that not only God is there, He is engaging the people to release them from bondage, to feed them and water them, to give them laws and precepts that would keep them safe and free from disease. He would keep them in such detail. God loved them and kept the people in such detail that their clothes would not wear out as they walked through the wilderness for 40 years. Church, God was there. What, Brother Kyle, what do you mean their clothes wouldn't wear out? I don't get that. Well, if you were to go with me right now and go with me to my closet in my bedroom, I have a shirt that is 33 years old. I got it 1987 for Christmas. My mother had bought it and purchased it for me. And I wore this shirt, this red shirt, on New Year's Eve 1987 when the year was going to turn to 1988. And that was the shirt that I was wearing when I met my wife. That's why I still have it. And yes, some of you smart alecks are saying, well, I bet it doesn't fit. Yes, it does still fit. I still have that shirt, and from time to time, I'll put it on, and I'll wear it on New Year's Eve. But listen, it's still, for 33 years, it still remains. Now, it's still not, it's faded quite a bit. Well, Brother Kyle, what are you saying? Listen, the Hebrew children walked every single day, and their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. God sustained them. God was with them. God was there. God was there. Then we get to Joshua and Judges. We see that God walks ahead of His people. Not behind them, not beside them, but God walked ahead of them. Do you realize that God's walking ahead of you today? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next week or the next month or the next year. We can see what's going on around us and probably, you know, try to project what might be coming. But we don't have a clue. But God is already there ahead of us, church. We see that God walked ahead of his people into the land that he promised to give them way back in Genesis 12. Now listen, most of the territories God moves his people to as he's walking with them, is he is seen going ahead of them, conquering the people ahead of them. Then as the people start to settle in these lands, God gives them judges to provide order and discipline. Why does God do that? Because God is there. God is there. In these love letters, do you understand that God is walking ahead of us? He is walking ahead of us as he gives us a copy of these love letters. We can use the Bible as our inspiration, not to look behind, but to look ahead. And as we look ahead, he's already there providing a way, conquering all that's ahead of us that we might be victors with him. Listen, I've said it 100 times. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what you're going to go through. In the end, we win. We are victorious. It doesn't matter what happens in our lives. We are victorious. We win in the end because God is there. God is with us. We then get to women, a lot of women's favorite book. We get to the book of Ruth, where the main character, Ruth, is in dire need of a kinsman redeemer. She needs somebody to redeem her to themselves. The Hebrew children, the chosen people of God, would see this as an actual event. But we as Christians understand that this is also a future event, and it is pointing directly at Jesus the Messiah as our kinsman redeemer. What we see, church, is God is there at the time that God will be there in a time to come. He is already that day preparing a way for his future people right then and there. God is there. I know you can't see it. A lot of times I can't see it. But we need to understand that God is already ahead of us preparing our future. Now, I turned 50 today, and you might be thinking, well, you don't have that much longer. I don't know how much longer I have. I might have 2 weeks. I might have 2 days. I might have 20 years. I don't know. I might have 30 years. But I know this. How many ever days I have left, God is there ahead of me, preparing a way for me. And he's preparing a way for you. We then come to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, and we see how God gave the people something they wanted and a king of their own. Now, God didn't want it. The people wanted it. But he gave it to them. Even though he knew the outcome, that he was with them all of the way through the end of 2 Chronicles, calling his people back to obedience, back to himself. Come back to me. Come back to obedience. Giving them chance after chance after chance and another chance and another chance. God was there even when his children chose a path that led them to lose all that he had given them. God was there. Do you know that God loves you even in your failures? You see, those books record that a people, his people, didn't choose his way. They chose a different way. There's many of us, myself included. There have been times where I haven't chosen God's way. I've chosen another way, a different direction. Even when God, through his Holy Spirit, is saying, you need to come this way, you need to come this way, and I've gone the other way, God has always been there with me. And as we look at these books, as we look at these beautiful love letters, even when these people have chosen, his people have chosen a path apart from him, God gave them their heart's desire, even though he knew it was the wrong way, and he didn't leave them. He was right there with them all the way. We see God in the hand of God as he led Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild the holy temple and the walls around the holy city. We see the remnant of people energized by the power and presence of the one and only holy God. Church, God was there. Have you ever thought as you looked at Ezra and Nehemiah, what they were asked to do, what they felt led to do as they went back to Jerusalem to build the walls and the holy temple? Do you think they were scared knowing that these lands were conquered and they were now surrounded by the enemies of Jerusalem? And what God was asking them to do seemed, there was no way to do it. They would be hinged around by every side by their enemies, and every time they tried to make one step forward, their enemies would come and attack. Do you think that they were scared? They were scared. But listen, what kept them going? What kept them going to complete the task? They knew what we ought to know every single day. It doesn't matter what we face, how afraid we are to do what God has called us to do, we need to understand that God is there. God is there. God is there with them. And God is with us. We see next God again in the book of Esther and Job. When two terrible events take place, the Hebrew children are almost exterminated, and a man of great faith loses all that he has, and we see people of God suffering unjustly, yet they kept their faith in God intact. Church, God is there to show us that we can make it through anything and everything because He is with us. I can't imagine secretly finding out that my whole race of people is under attack and somebody wants to just wipe us out completely. But this is something that the Jewish nation has faced many times in their life. I can't imagine being a man of God full of faith and full of love and for no unexplained reason, everything is taken away from me. I'm faced with a life of balls from head to toe and a life of misery, knowing I've lost everything. But in the midst of both of those circumstances, we see in those love letters from God to us that God was right there with them. Right there with them. To help them through every situation they faced. As we come to the last four of the poetical books in the Old Testament, Psalms through the Song of Psalms, we hear beautiful songs written to the ever-present God. Words of wisdom from a man given wisdom directly from the throne room of God, who was Solomon himself. We see Solomon in a time of youth. We see Solomon in a time of middle age, and we see Solomon in the time of the end of his life. We see, church, that God is there every moment of every second of a man's life, through every stage of a man's life. God is there. God is with us. He never leaves us. We've now reached the second largest portion of the Old Testament Scripture as we see these love letters. As we stare at the book of the first major prophet Isaiah and quickly flip through the pages to the last word of the book of Malachi, we see those words, those books, God loving His people so very much that He sends 16 prophets who warn His people ahead of their deserved destruction, and then loves them so much that He has then recorded these words to the people for further generations to learn from their mistakes. And know that God has a line in the sand, and generations will know that when we come and when we make mistakes, God has a line in the sand and definitely unstoppable consequences to come if we do not return to Him. Church, what do we see? We understand that God is there. God is there. He's always been there. As we look at the end of Malachi, we stand at a bridge. Then all words and prophecies stop as we consider the wide gulf between the books of Malachi and the first New Testament book of Matthew. For 400 years, it seems as if God has no word to say to His people. He has left them to their own accord. They are spinning in the wind because of their constant rebellion towards Him. This could not be further from the truth. as in those 400 years, God is making a way, not just a way, but a perfect way for His one and only Son to step across the threshold of heaven and to the world of man to give them a way to inherit eternal life. God is there even when we can't see Him. God is there. For 400 years, there's silence. No prophets. No new words. And I'm sure the people of God thought God had left them for good. But God was still planning a way. As we look at this bridge from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and there's no words, we need to understand, even when God is silent in our lives, or seems to be silent in our lives, He's right there with us. He's right there with us. All He wants us to do is be still and listen. When we can't hear God, we need to listen that much more. When we can't feel God, we need to pray that much more. When we can't hear anything or feel anything, we need to get in God's Word that we might be able to experience the fullness of who God is, because this is where God is in our lives and where He wants us to be. God didn't leave His people for 400 years. He was preparing His people for 400 years. We then step across that bridge of 400 years of silence to the opening of the chapter in the New Testament with the words that proved to His people, the Hebrew children, through the generations and the genealogies, that His Son, Jesus the Christ, is their Messiah all along. What we see is God in the flesh walking and guiding man in the form of man in Matthew through John. God is with us because God is there. The book of Acts shows us what the power of the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit can and will do in the lives of all believers who will put their faith in Him and Him alone. Well, we can see with our own eyes wide open, church, through the book of Acts, as God is moving in a mighty way to build His church and to reclaim His people, that God is there. He never left. 400 years was very quiet. But those years afterwards were loud and proud. God's not done. He's always there. We see in the books of Romans through the book of Jude, doctrines, theologies, encouragement lessons, practical lessons, and living a Christ-centered life. We see the words of discipline to those who are on their Christian path yet choose to stray from God. Church, listen, we see all of this. We have seen all of this written as a record because God is there. God is there. We now stand looking at the last book in our Bibles, the last of the 66 love letters. We stand looking, gazing at the book of Revelation. We know that God called John, the beloved apostle of Jesus, to write what he had seen as he was in the Spirit, letting us today know that he wrote in Revelation 1 through 3 by saying this: "Blessed is the one who reads, and blessed are those who hear the words of prophecy and keep what is written in it, because the time is near." The time is near. Church, God gave John these words that we may be prepared. God gave John the urgency to believe, as we should, that the time is drawing near. God, church, there is a nearness, a nearness that cannot be explained. When we focus on the nearness of God, we are closer today than we have ever been to the coming of God. And I can tell you this because God was there. God was there. Church, there's never been a time before, and there'll never be a time in the future where God is not there. Never be a time where God is not there. God is here right now. for every same reason he's always been. God loves you. He loves us. He wants the very best for us. He will lead you, guide you, and direct you, even in the hardest times. He will call you back to himself when you stray and discipline you when you cross his line. God will warn you and prepare you for what is soon coming because God is here. Brother Kyle, what are you saying? Be at peace. Be at peace. That's what the world needs to see in us as Christians today. They need to see us in the presence of God in a state of peace, not panic, not fear. Be at peace right now and forever, church, because God is with us. God is with us. Do you know my Jesus? I hope you do this morning. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God, we love you. We thank you, God, that we know. We know that you always were. You were always there. From the beginning of Genesis 1:1 all the way to the last word in the book of Revelation. You were there and you're with us today, the church today, as we continue to move forward for you to proclaim your Son's great news. Lord, be with us. Help us to hold our head high, knowing things are coming that we can't stop. But in the midst of everything to come, God, let us proclaim that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And that might reside in us and give us a peace that just no person could understand. Help us to feel your love and to show your love every day. Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. I want to thank you for being here this morning. Pray that you will continue to be the church. Be the church outside of these walls. Continue to be the church every single day. Find new ways to tell people about the love of God. Now, I told you last week or the week before that we were shooting for and hoping for to be returned here back in the church next Sunday, Mother's Day. I also told you to make sure before you come, before you plan, to call the church or to find out. I spoke with the deacons prior to this service, and we're meeting Tuesday night to talk about the service, just to get everybody's feelings. So please be in prayer for us as we just seek God's discernment on when to return back as a church. Please always know that your pastor loves you. I'm praying for you. If you need me, I'm but a phone call away. God bless you all. Have a good day.